Hello, folks. This is Miss Parker. And right now, I am struggling to find the picture of the disclaimer document so I can read it to you. Welcome to RV Project Help. And I'd like to read you a disclaimer of liability before I start my project or before I start my program. Oh boy, I'm just getting my words all twisted here. This material and information contained or given on this website or audio file is for general purposes and information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers, nor are we financial advisors. You are using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. While we endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, Project Help makes no representations, warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website information, audio files, products, services, or related graphics contained on this website or audio file for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. Okay, glad I got that one out of the way. Okay, so this audio file, this recording is done with a document that's called Immediate Needs. And folks, I've posted it in the channel. This document, Immediate Needs, is going to be in the document file on RV Project Help. That way you can find the document that is matching this audio file. So what immediate needs are, is these are your needs for the next 3 months. And I don't know why that several different people online are talking about immediate needs documents. And so I'm kind of following their lead, but I'm confused about it, because in the corporate world, the immediate needs list is not for a month. It's not for 3 months, it's for 1 month. So I don't know if whoever wrote this original document knew that corporate world is like 1 month, or if they actually had some kind of other information to cause them to believe that it was a 3 month period was necessary. So I don't know. I'm a girl, more is better. So I kept that format. And then I went in and I looked at different things that you might want or you might need. And what I'm going to talk about on here is why I put these items on here. And these are all items that you could actually put on here and it would be normal. So at the end of this, if you have questions about what, do you have a need, a financial need that you think needs to be on the emergency funds list, and you want to ask me, you know, should this be on it or that be on it, I'll be glad to answer that at the end. I can't switch tracks easy in my thought pattern. So if you could just leave questions to the end, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. So emergency funds, there's no rhyme or reason for the order of funds on here. It's not, the number one is not your biggest fund. Number two is not your, you know, second biggest fund. It's however it is. Okay. The document has a space and then the number listed, the number, and then the fund name and the amount due on it. And the reason why I have that empty column over there is because I don't know if they're going to pick and choose things that they're going to fund me for. I'm assuming they will give me all of the emergency funds I'm asking for, but they may not. They may have, like, say that we go to free energy and now we don't have any utility bills, so there's no need to get that amount of money. So I have that side checklist just for me. So in case something is not funded, then I can put a little check by it to know later, you know, don't plan on this bill getting paid that direction. So I have unpaid medical bills, although I don't have $10,000 in unpaid medical bills. These are all made up documents. I have about, I don't know, I think it's about $2,500 in unpaid medical bills. I was misdiagnosed an injury, and I didn't feel like I wanted to pay it, so I wasn't going to. But now we're gonna have the IV, and that'll be paid, and so I'll pay it. But your unpaid medical bills, there's gonna have people that are gonna have illnesses in their family, and they'll have $100,000 of medical bills that are unpaid. If you're gonna pay off all your medical bills, put the total on here. No matter if it's $5 or $100,000, put your unpaid medical bills on here. Food and restaurant. What will happen? What usually happens? See, this thing is done in 3 months, but usually you get all your changeover in a month. So again, I don't know which way this is actually what's going to be in reality. But during the changeover, you're not going to have a lot of time to eat at home. You're going to be pulled all different directions for hiring meetings. Your family governance people are going to want to talk to you, all different kinds of things. And so you're not going to spend a lot of time home cooking. And so you want to put in a budget for so you can go out and eat, because you're going to be eating, you're going to have meetings that are going to be over dinners. Sometimes those people that you're having a meal with, they're going to pay for your meals, but you don't want to count on that. You just want to have a fairly healthy size budget for going out to dinner. Now, $5,000 for some people, that might be enough for a month. For some people, that might be enough for a year. I'm not a big fan of going out to eat, so I don't really know how much money to put on there, so I just put $5,000. I'm just guessing. Okay. Put your monthly mortgage on there. If it's a couple hundred dollars a month, I guess now mortgages are a lot more than that. Put 3 months worth of mortgages on there. That one only has, I think that's a month mortgage. If you have insurance for your house, all your insurances, add them all up, what the cost is for 3 months, and then put that on there. Okay. Do the same for your phone bills. Do the same for your utility bills. You are going to hire a housekeeper, and you're going to hire a housekeeper immediately. Now, when I first started looking at this, I thought I was going to hire a security person to watch outside. That's not what I'm hiring. I'm actually going to be hiring executive level security. So my security bill is not going to be $1,000 a month. It's probably going to be 15 to 20,000 for 1 month, maybe more. So I need to lift the price of the security. You are going to have a housekeeper. You're not going to have enough time to breathe. And if you decide, I'm going to keep doing my own house, I'm going to keep cleaning my own house, that's not going to happen, folks. You're not going to have time. You're going to have to hire a housekeeper. And I've only posted this once before. I'm going to post it again. If you were wise, you would take a copy of this. I write a complete manual for my house to be cleaned. It's my housekeeping document. I will only leave this on the channel for a few minutes, and then I will remove this again. This is 20 years of having professional staff. So when you are in your downtime right now, get out a pen and paper and start writing down how you want your house cleaned. You can use this manual, go through this manual, and get some ideas of what you can ask a housekeeper to do. Okay. If you wanted to, you could, basically copy the majority of this thing. It depends on the size of your home. And then you can add your own stuff to it. But by having a housekeeper, it takes all the stress out of you. by knowing what she can do or what you can tell her to do. Now she's not coming to you every 5 minutes. Ma'am, what would you like me to clean next? What would you like me to clean? You're going to get to the point where you have a housekeeper and she asks you, what would you like me to clean next? I would say, clean your shoes because it's time for you to leave, because they'll drive you nuts. So if you have never had a housekeeper and you don't know what you want done, pull up my document. It's called the Household Manual. I'm going to remove it from the channel in just like another minute. And make your own right now, because you will need a housekeeper. No joke about that. And put the price of a housekeeper in there, okay? If you have a swimming pool, I wish I did, but if you had a swimming pool, thank you, beautiful crazy. That's very kind of you. If you have a swimming pool, put pool care on it. If your swimming pool needs to be repaired, get your get a repair call, have a repair company to come fix it. All of your time you have to be careful of, because when you're done, you're gonna leave, okay? And so your house is probably going to be put up for sale, if you have a small house. When you're done with all your little meetings, if you haven't already moved to a big house, you're going to have to take care of all the upkeep of the maintenance and fixing the house to get it ready for sale. So do this, get it ready in that first 3 months or that first month. Hire somebody to fix the pool if there's a pool problem. Hire somebody to fix the yard if there's a yard problem. Hire somebody to come in and do a yard upgrade, you know, where you pay $5,000 or $6,000 for them to rip out your yard and fix it, okay? For $10,000, whatever the fuck it costs, get it fixed. The same thing for your, if you have any home repair on your roof or home repair on your house. I have a bathroom that needs to be remodeled that was in the process of being remodeled when I moved in here, and I never had the funds to finish it. So I need $30,000 to remodel my bathroom or get in. I got some home roof repair a little bit and about like 10, 15,000 to fix the bathroom because all the tile and just a bunch of shit. Okay. You're going to be traveling. If you have a project that is national or international, you'll probably be doing some kind of traveling. So give yourself a budget for hotel costs or plane fares. Now, it never dawned on me when I first wrote this document. This document is almost 7 months old now. It never dawned on me when I wrote this document that I'd have the funds to be able to say, hey, I want to charter a plane. So I just have, I figure $10,000, that's like $2,000 each. That's 5 trips in 3 months to go someplace to do any kind of business meetings. Now, I may put in a business charter plane and put in $100,000. I don't know. Or I might just leave it at 10,000. I don't know. Never flown first class. I mean, yeah, the charter plane sounds really good and everything like that, but to me, it's like, I just want to fly first class once. I just want to know what it's like to be up there in the front. It's a curiosity thing, I guess. I don't know. You're going to need a trust lawyer to do your trust if you have to have one, and you just got to have a lawyer. Just so I just put a lawyer down. It may be when we go to the QFS system, we don't need lawyers, and lawyers are going to be retrained to be constitutional lawyers. So you might want to look for a constitutional lawyer now that you can put on retainer. And then go get a doctor's appointment. The bottom one I had on there at the time, I had been told that we were going to get med bed appointments or have med bed access at our appointments. I think it's just talk to somebody about the med beds or make an appointment at the med beds. I'm not sure which way it is. But now I've been told that we are going to have med bed care immediately. So I am probably going to take, the doctor's appointments stuff off of there, and then car rental for 3 months. Now, it seems kind of weird. Like, why would you rent a car, okay, instead of just going and buying a car? I have a truck that I've been trying to get in. You guys all know this, that you've helped me get some money in. The owner of the only truck shop in town is one of the members of the city council. And so I have made 3 appointments now to get my truck in. And every time I make an appointment, it gets canceled at the last minute. So the good thing is that I can keep saying I have an appointment so they won't tow my vehicle. The bad thing is I think I'm being screwed with because he's on the city council, but that's a whole different other subject. So while I could go out and buy a new car, and that would be the best choice, I can't buy a new car. I get completely intimidated by buying a new car. So I'm gonna wait until I have a friend help me. And I'm also concerned that the car that I buy is something that my executive level security is gonna say, hey, this is a good car, it's a good car for safety and protection. So I'm thinking I'm gonna get a car rental for 3 months. That's gonna allow me to do all the running around I need to do. And sometime in that 3 months, I'm gonna get a vehicle that my security team is saying, hey, this is a great one. I don't know if it's gonna be like a bulletproof car, it might be, or it might be, a Land Rover or something that can go across anything, four-wheel drive. Let's just go through, over the rivers and through the woods. We're going. We don't care. There's no road. So I just don't know what that's gonna be. So because I don't have my heart set on any one kind of car, I just figured do a car rental for 3 months. And then I wanted, so whatever that total is, it totals up to me. And then I thought, I want some money because I have a lot of things. I need to get clothes. I need to get my dog into some training. I need to have a dumpster here because I've got to repair a ceiling that's falling. So I'm going to have a lot of expenses, but I don't know what they are. So I'm saying, well, fuck it, I'm going to ask for $100,000 for pocket money to get all this stuff fixed, hire people to pack my house, whatever it is I need to get ready for the next phase. And the next phase is either you're going to move into a bigger house that you can have, that your security team can better protect you in, or you're going to have your house upgraded and stay someplace else until that happens. I strongly suggest you don't do that. I suggest that you go buy another place, because when you start buying a house in the area of, say, a million plus, most of those houses come furnished. Because when you're rich, you don't give a fuck about furniture. It is just a pain in the ass to move furniture. So you just sell your house completely furnished. That's completely normal when you get into houses of like a million or more, 2 million, 3 million. The houses usually come furnished. Some don't, but and if your house does not come furnished, do not furnish your house. Do not do that, because you have to be on point. So hire an interior decorator. And don't do that shit yourself. It's so tempting because you want it to be beautiful and you see all these beautiful things and they look like shit when you put them all together. You hire an interior designer and say, hey, I like this piece. I like that piece. Give her no more than one piece per room if you have to have something, okay? And then she'll build a room around that piece and it'll look fantastic. And when you have company, they'll think you're just the best thing since sliced bread. But that's it. That's what the emergency needs paper is all about. It's just what you think you're going to need in that first 30 days. And you're going to be traveling. Either if you have a statewide project or global project, you're going to be traveling because the chances are to have the type of banking services you need. It may not be in your home state, especially if you're doing major projects. If you're doing a small project, you're still going to need to set up accounts. You're still going to need to research properties. You're still going to need to have, whatever it takes that you need to start your project. So your emergency needs funds just pretty much, thank you, beautiful crazy. Your funds pretty much dictate, your project dictates what kind of emergency funds you're going to need. I hope that makes sense. Does anybody have any questions?
Ms. Parker, I do have a quick question. You mentioned, the house, and my husband and I were doing a project together. We've been looking for the last month, and we actually found a property that is going to fit well with what we're doing. And we, as you said, it does come with furniture, and we asked, they're going to include the staging and everything. So my question to you is, when we go to our appointment, it's been on the market for a month, and they have a showcase open house rather every weekend. They're eager to sell it. I would love to, have this RV happen prior to it getting sold, but we're kind of rolling the dice here. But do we mention that where we found a property at the appointment to see if the funds could be available soon?
No, yeah, no. Here's how we do that. Okay. What you're going to ask for is you don't need the funds available immediately. What you need is you need a clean and clear certificate and a proof of funds. You don't have to have the funds. And you ask for a clean and clear certificate, and you have proof of funds and guarantee of funds by X amount of days. And you get that from your banker. So you go to your banker, and after the RV, you say, look, you've got the currency. Whenever you get to whoever your banker is or your paymaster, you say, I got this property. It's perfect for what we need for the RV. I'd like to get a clean and clear certificate and a proof of funds and a proof of funds letter, and I need to know when these funds will be available. Whatever that date is, that's the date the day after that date is the date you set for giving that person the proof of funds and the clean and clear. The clean and clear is usually going to be sooner than the proof of funds, okay? So you reach out to you get your appointment. As soon as you get your appointment, you call the real estate agent and you say, hey, I need to meet with you. Whatever you're going to be RVing on a Friday, I need to meet with you Saturday, and I need you to bring a contract. And you should have so Friday you go to your RV, and you find out in your RV, oh, you're going to get you won't be able to see your banker until next Wednesday, and they're not going to be able to get you a clean and clear card until Wednesday, so it's Friday. So you've already called your real estate agent and you said, hey, Saturday, I will need you to meet me at this property. I want to look at this property. I want you to bring a contract. So you have her fill out the contract, make the offer on the property, and on the document on the offer, you say, if you accept this offer, I will give you a proof of funds and a clean and clear document on this day. You won't know what that day is until after you RV. And if you make your appointment to see your realtor the day after you RV, you're good to go. You'll know all the information then. They're not going to care if you say, I can't give you a clean and clear certificate for 5 days or for 6 days or whatever. Once they have that contract, then they know that it's coming and they're going to stop being so aggressive. They usually stop being so aggressive about trying to get it sold if they're desperately trying to sell it.
But, amazing, amazing advice. Thank you so much.
I hope that helps. Anybody else? Well, folks, I'm going to end this recording and then I'm going to post it tomorrow night. We've had a lot of interesting chat tonight, a lot of good conversation. This emergency funds document is probably the last document that I will do for the series of documents that you need for your RV. So with that said, man, there's a bittersweet thing about getting to the last one. Thank you to all the patriots who listened to this. Thank you to all the humanitarians, the wonderful, amazing army of humanitarians that are going to go out there and change the world. Listen to your heart, folks, and follow it because God is leading you. Amen.